Completely Conspicuous, episode 289, August 2nd, 2013. Welcome back to Completely Conspicuous. I'm your host, Jay Kumar. This week, I celebrate 7 big years of podcasting with part one of my conversation with guest Amanda Guest as we discuss the new online radio station she's launching. I've also got the Bonehead of the Week and music from Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, Quicksand, Rocket from the Crypt, and Dinosaur Jr. As always, please send any comments, questions, or lifetime achievement awards to j.kumar@gmail.com. Also, please check out Completely Conspicuous at compconcast.blogspot.com and on Facebook, and you can follow me on Twitter at coomdog. You can subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. And now here's Black Rebel Motorcycle Club with a live version of Hate the Taste.
Well, thank you guys. Thank you very much.
I won't ride with you, I won't you take me there. I wanna ride
And now, on to my conversation with Amanda Guest. Okay, I'm here with Amanda Guest. Amanda, how's it going?
Great, Jay. How are you doing?
Good. And I was looking it up, and the last time you were on the show was way back in 2010.
Wow.
Yeah. In like, I guess, October of 2010. So back when you were still living in Massachusetts. So now you're out in San Fran.
Yeah, a lot has changed.
Yeah. How long have you been out there now?
Just over a year.
Okay. And basically, when we spoke last, you were actually doing a radio show at Salem State, now University. I think it was still a college then. Was it?
I think it was. Yeah, it was like right on the verge of changing at the time.
Yeah, and you've been doing that show basically since you were a student there, and now you're out. Basically, now did you move for work or was it just for fun?
For fun, mostly, yeah. You know, I just had kind of gotten to the point in Massachusetts where there were a lot of creative things that I wanted to do, and I wanted to be in a more creative atmosphere, and I decided San Francisco was the place for me. So I originally was going to just move out to San Francisco with no job and kind of figure it out when I got here. But then just like 2 months before we were getting ready to move out here, I got offered a job that became a work from home position.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So now I'm living the dream out here, working from home and doing all sorts of really cool creative stuff, like launching my own radio station.
Which is why you're on the show, because wanted to talk to you about that.
Yeah.
So, I guess tell everybody a little bit about it.
Yeah, so, as for those of you who have been listening to ComCon since 2010, you might remember me from before, but I basically just have had a lifelong love of radio and did a show at WMWM for a number of years. And one of the things that I wanted to do when I moved across the country was to start my own internet radio station. And it didn't happen right away. You know, I've been out here for about a year, and in the past couple months, everything just kind of fell together. I got this amazing studio space inside the Secret Alley, which is an artist collective here in the Mission District in San Francisco.
Nice.
Have a bunch of collaborators that want to come on board and help me do radio. And I've just been spending the past couple months scrimping and saving, buying a lot of equipment, learning how to make a website, learning how to stream internet radio. And yesterday I actually made the logo for the station, so I guess now I'm a graphic designer as well.
Wow. Jack of all trades.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta, you know, do whatever you can to keep the budget down.
So I guess, you know, when you went out there, you kind of were like you were doing Radioculars online, right? You had kind of hooked up with, was it Mutiny Radio?
Yeah. Right after we got out here, I joined, you know, at first I was like, well, I'm going to move out there and start a radio station. And I don't know if you know anything about the rent situation out here in San Francisco, but the rents out here are pretty insane.
The rent's too damn high.
Yeah, the rent truly is too damn high. So it took me a little while financially to get up to speed, to where we are now. But, so in the meantime, I had joined, another station called Mutiny Radio, which is in the Mission District and is really awesome, and was there for about 6 months. And then, you know, recently things just kind of came together and I decided it was time to make the leap.
I mean, did you basically, how did the opportunity sort of present itself? I mean, was it just sort of like, now's the time to do it? Or was there something that made you say, you know, this is my chance? Or like, how did that come about?
It's kind of crazy, actually. Before I even lived in San Francisco, I used to come out here for business a lot. And I would tweet about it. And I wound up becoming friends with someone on Twitter this guy, Alan, who runs the blog Mission Mission. And he thought I lived in San Francisco at the time. But I was like, no, I just really love San Francisco. So I'm always tweeting about it. And so we kind of became friends on Twitter. And then I started meeting up with him and meeting people through him when I came out for business. And one of the things that I really loved about my visits here was coming to the Secret Alley for, you know, different events and parties. And I used to think to myself, you know, if I were going to have a station, I would love to have it in a space like this. And, you know, I highly encourage those of you listening to Google the Secret Alley and look up some pictures, because it's just this incredible space where it's, you know, it's a former sweatshop space that was converted into basically a little town. So you come in and there's a little street, a row of little buildings, and it opens up to an indoor park that has trees, a movie theater, a treehouse. It's like a big playground for adults, basically.
That's awesome.
And so, you know, I came here and I was like, you know, this is awesome. Like, this is exactly like what my dream of coming to San Francisco would be like, is, you know, being in a place like this. And then just a couple months ago, I came here for a party and there was a for rent sign in the window of the space.
And you were like, hey, now.
I was like, I want that. I want to be in there. So, yeah, so then I basically just, you know, sent an email and said that I wanted, you know, was interested in checking out the space, came in and pretty much just laid it on the table, said, hey, I want to come into the space and start a radio station. What do you think? And luckily, everyone was really psyched about it. And here I am.
I mean, that's what kind of blew my mind when I found out about it, was just that, you know, you literally, it wasn't like there was this sort of, you know, prefab studio waiting for you. You basically, you know, set it up, you know, you kind of envisioned it and did it all yourself, which is kind of impressive.
Yeah, it's been a really crazy learning experience. We've already had some ups and downs. For example, I decided, you know, we originally were like, oh, well, we can just run the whole thing off of a DJ mixer. So we brought the mixer in and started playing around with it. And then I thought, you know, it doesn't feel like real radio to me. And
right.
Part of my goal with this is, even though, you know, some people don't really feel like internet radio is, you know, quite up to terrestrial radio standards, but I really wanted to, you know, have a setup where people coming in would really have a real radio experience and feel like they were really truly broadcasting on terrestrial radio and would take it really serious and act very professionally. And I was like, well, we need a broadcast console to do that. So I ordered a broadcast console and I thought that I was, you know, picking out the right thing. And then we get it down here and it doesn't do the things that we need it to do. And so now we're waiting for console number two.
Yeah. And I imagine those things aren't cheap.
No, that was a little bit of a sticker shock, but we'll deal with that credit card bill when it comes, I guess.
Yeah, so I guess, yeah, like you said, you were saving up, right? I mean, I can't imagine it's an inexpensive endeavor to kind of start something like this from scratch.
No, there's definitely a lot of costs, you know, to get started. It's not for the faint of heart, but we've kind of lucked out in some ways. My husband's a software developer, and he went to Chicago on a business trip, and his boss handed him two laptops and said,
"Oh, nice.
Wipe these clean and dispose of them." And so I was like, wait, what? Like two free laptops? Okay. So he asked if, you know, his boss cared what happened to them, and he said, no, just make them go away. So now we have two laptops running the streaming operation and the automation. So there'll be music playing 24/7, even when we don't have a scheduled program on. And that was, you know, happenstance. It just sort of happened. And other than that, we've been kind of cobbling things together. You know, the Secret Alley let me take a desk that was already here, and they're letting me modify it to accommodate a board and everything.
Yeah. And so when are you launching?
Well, our new broadcast console will be here next week. And so Pretty much from next week through, I would say maybe mid-August, we're going to try out, just do some test shows. I'll be doing radioculars probably weekly, just to kind of get used to the setup. And then we have, you know, four or five DJs that want to start doing shows as soon as we get going. So I would say probably, you know, 1st of September we'll really be going with, you know, some regular programs. And
nice.
Yeah, and starting next week, I have a friend who's a former Wake Forest College radio music director who still has a lot of contacts and is still really into music. So we're going to start working on building a library so people will have music to play.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. And I don't know if you've actually said what the name is.
Oh, no, I don't think I have. No, that would be really important, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So it's BFF.FM. And the BFF stands for Best Frequencies Forever.
Very catchy.
Yeah, well, that was kind of the thing. It had to be something that was, you know, I wanted something that had letters in it because that sounds, you know, like very much like radio call letters.
Sure,
but then I also wanted it to be something that was catchy and also available.
Yeah, that's another key,
as
right?
As a domain name, yeah.
So I guess how are you going to get the word out? I mean, I know you've worked in marketing, so you certainly know that end of things, but
yeah.
What's sort of the strategy?
So the strategy is to just basically tell as many people as possible. You know, through doing radioculars for so many years, I've been in touch with a lot of really cool bands and some promoters. So basically we're just going to tell every promoter I know, every band that's ever been on the show. You know, we're on Facebook already, so we'll start, you know, doing some advertising there, I've actually signed up for College Music Journal, CMJ.
Oh, yeah.
So it can start submitting reports and kind of get some of our name out there a little bit that way. And then I'm also, one of the projects I'm working on is putting together a press list of all sorts of blogs and, you know, publications in the Bay Area, just to see who will bite, who will talk to me.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine there must be a lot of, I guess, sort of, what's the landscape of, you know, sort of similar kinds of operations? If you, I imagine you did some research just to see what else is out there. I mean, it certainly, like, you know, you in Boston, you've got former radio stations that are only streaming online now. You know, FNX turned into two of them, I think. You know,
yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, are you looking at it regionally, or are you looking at it sort of beyond, you know, nationally, or how you sort of, what's sort of the vision?
Right now, I mean, we actually kind of have a bit of a two-pronged approach. I'm sort of focusing on building really strong relationships with people in our neighborhood and in San Francisco or the Bay Area, which means, you know, building partnerships with different venues and helping out bands, you know, by promoting them and
right.
all that fun stuff. But then I have a co-conspirator that's coming on board who has a lot of European connections.
Oh, wow.
And we've been talking about possibly setting up a remote broadcast program for, you know, late evenings, where we would have DJs from, you know, potentially all over the world come in and host programs remotely during our off-peak time. So we'll see what happens.
And what kind of shows are you looking to have on the air? I mean, I know, because Radioculars kind of, you know, pretty much plays new music, right? I mean, for the most part. And
yeah, really the main core mission of the station, I would say, is to shine a light on underground bands and really, you know, help, you know, provide a platform for undiscovered artists. And so the only real requirement I would say that I have is for, you know, most of the programming during the day to be focused on underground music. And, you know, already with the shows that we have coming on board when we start, you know, it's not just what I like. It's, you know, we have, you know, lo-fi garage, but then we also have experimental electronic, Italo disco, you know, acoustic stuff, blues, you know, all sorts of different genres. So in that way, it won't really be limited, other than really just focusing on some people that haven't really gotten enough attention yet.
Mm-hmm. Have you set any kind of goals, I guess, for, you know, I guess, I don't know, anything really. Like, I mean, do you sort of have, like, you know, where you want to be in 6 months or a year? Do you know sort of, or is it just sort of too far out to even think about right now?
it's kind of scary to think about, to be honest. You know, what I've been saying right now is that, you know, 6 months out, I'd like to have enough DJs on board or enough shows on board that I'm at least covering half of the monthly operating expenses. So, you know, the way a lot of community radio stations in this area work is that at WMWM, we were all volunteers, but the station was owned and operated by the school, and so it was free to come in and use the facilities.
Right.
But out here, a lot of stations are pay to play, so the DJs will pay monthly dues in order to maintain a time slot. And
no,
yeah. So that's, you know, at Mutiny, I was paying like $50 a month to come down there and do a show and, you know, benefit from being part of them, their station. So I'll probably do something similar here. And, you know, my overhead's a little bit lower than some of the bigger stations. So hopefully it won't take too many DJs to start covering the bills.
Yeah. And sort of, How else, I guess, can you, you know, I mean, are you hoping to make money off of this thing, or is it just sort of just to keep, be able to keep it going?
Honestly, I'd be happy with just keeping it going. I think there's, mm-hmm. there's a lot of potential. We'll see what happens, but you know, there's potential for sponsorships and, you know, getting some money from venues to promote, you know, different events. So, you know, it's pretty wide open. It's just a question of the time and effort versus payout. I mean, I would like to have the expenses covered and then have a small fund so that we could afford to put on some events and you know, repair any equipment or even upgrade some things.
And you're still working full time, I assume, right?
Yes. Yeah. So,
which is another challenge.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. The other day, I was out with some friends and my friend was like, "Oh man, you seem like really subdued." And I'm like, "I'm exhausted already, you know, because, I work East Coast hours. So I'm up early. I end early in the afternoon, which is good. It gives me time to run around and get some stuff done, but I've definitely been burning the candle on both ends and that will probably continue for a little while.
Yeah. I mean, just getting the thing up and rolling must be just consuming all your energy right now.
Yeah, we've been doing it incrementally. So, like, today we got a shipment with some microphone arms and a CD player. So we came down to the studio space, set them up. We've basically been coming down here and spending, you know, an hour or two every couple of days just adding the next little piece of it.
And I guess how long has this been in the works now? When did you sort of decide that you wanted to do it?
I think I've always, like, you know, I've been doing college radio since I was 17 years old. So at this point, literally half of my lifetime, I've been doing this. And I think it's always just been something that's been at the back of my mind and a dream that I've had. And, you know, I think one of the things, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about when deciding to move to San Francisco was the fact that this is such a creative place and there are so many just enormously talented and creative people out here who have just weird, quirky passions that they feel completely free to pursue. And that's what I wanted to do. And I felt like I would have a much better chance of making something like this work out here.
Yeah, I mean, is it? I mean, I guess around here in this area, Do you feel like it's just too crowded of a market to do something like that, or is it, or just, you know, it'd just be harder to find space and that kind of thing?
Yeah, you know, just in general, I think when I would tell people this is, you know, this is this dream I have, people were just like, "You're crazy," you know, like why would you want to do that? Like that's crazy. Whereas out here, you can have any sort of wacky idea and there'll be someone that's like, "Yeah, man, sounds cool."
That's true. I think, you know, we're just so jaded out east, I think.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah. I always joke that, you know, being from New England, I'm filled to the brim with good old fashioned pessimism. but yeah, I think for this purpose, I kind of needed, you know, a little more of a, freewheeling attitude.
Right, yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, you can't go into this thing thinking, oh, man, this thing doesn't have a shot in hell. You know, you really got to be positive about it, so.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to be, like, sort of realistic about it, but, you know, but my friends are like, oh, no, it's going to be the greatest thing ever, and it's going to be so awesome. And I see, like, you know, I think one kind of change, you know, one difference is, you know, when I talked about this back east, a lot of people would bring up the fact that there are so many internet stations as a drawback or a negative, where here, even right in this neighborhood, you know, I know of at least two internet stations. You know, one is only two blocks from here, but I think being in a big city, there's a lot of room for a lot of stuff, and I feel like each station is kind of has its own little niche, and we're all doing our own little thing, and we're all cool to be swimming in the same pond.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, you can also make the argument, you know, well, who needs another website or who needs another TV show? You know, I mean, you know, if you kind of buy into that thinking, then nobody will ever create anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great big world out there, and, you know, a lot of people like different things, and I think that there's always room for one more of anything, you know, as long as you can differentiate yourself a little bit and, you know, if you're excited about it and you want to put in the time to make it work, why not?
Yeah, and I think, you know, people will appreciate the fact that it's kind of, you know, you could almost call this handcrafted as opposed to, you know, just some kind of digitized, you know, autoplay, you know, somebody playing their, iPod shuffle, you know, on the internet. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to be like a Jack FM kind of thing.
Right. So. Yeah, exactly. You know, hopefully, you know, the people that will come on board are each just as excited about the show that they're going to do as I am to get my show going again. And like, you know, I honestly do get excited each week when I do Radioculars to show people this cool new music that I found. And I, you know, I think that there are a lot of people in this area who are into radio the same way I am, which is awesome.
Oh, this is nice.
Follow your ups and downs. It's safe to say that I can't. you find your niche. Jump in soon. Easy to change your face, to move away your plan. But you gotta keep that baby state you plan. Oh, wonder, is everything okay? The problem is the hesitation.
Drag it through. You are listening to Completely Conspicuous with Jay Kumar.
That was Dinosaur Jr. with The Only Other Way, Rocket from the Crypt with a live version of Born in 69, and Quicksand with a live version of Phaser. Now it's time for the Bonehead of the Week. This week's honor goes to Philadelphia Eagles wide receiver Riley Cooper, who was backpedaling this week after a video was released of him drunk at a Kenny Chesney concert dropping the N-bomb. After a security guard refused to let Cooper go backstage, Cooper voiced his outrage. In a video that's gone viral after being published Wednesday on crossingbroad.com, Cooper said, "I will jump that fence and fight every N-word here, bro." Immediately after the video was posted, Cooper apologized on Twitter. After being rebuked and fined by the Eagles front office and chastised by the NFL, Cooper met with the media and apologized again, and then he met with his teammates during an evening walkthrough and offered another apology. Quarterback Michael Vick of the Eagles said he spoke to Cooper during the team's practice and forgave him. Even Kenny Chesney himself has come out and condemned Cooper's actions. Given that the guy plays with and against many African Americans, it's likely going to be a long and painful season for Riley Cooper. Now to close things out, here's a couple of songs about radio.
Sit back, no song is written. It's nothing you thought of yourself. It's just a ghost came unbidden to this house. This infection gets stronger every year. This seed in the water of a tear. There is no escaping it. This seed.
Climbing up into the air. to the jetty now, where some guy looks like Rocco Siffredi. And I heard he's been dead once already. We'll be right back.
Hold Steady with Most People Are DJs off the album Almost Killed Me, and Aukerville River with Another Radio Song off the album Black Sheep Boy. And that wraps up episode 289 of Completely Conspicuous. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you'll join me next time when Amanda Guess and I continue our discussion about her new radio station. The Black Rebel Motorcycle Club, Quicksand, and Rocket from the Crypt songs are all on the Converse Represent San Francisco Live EP, which is available for free download on SoundCloud. The Dinosaur Jr. song is an unreleased track released through a deal with Skullcandy Headphones. You can download the song for free at skullcandy.com. Jay Breitling produced the opening and closing themes of the show. Voiceover work is courtesy of James Grailian. Completely Conspicuous is, as always, a Tan God production.